that the FBI conducted earlier this week. That search was of premises located in Florida belonging to the former president. The department did not make any public statements on the day of the search. The former president publicly confirmed the search that evening, as is his right. Copies of both the warrant and the FBI property receipt were provided on the day of the search to the former president's counsel, who was on site during the search. The search warrant was authorized by a federal court upon the required finding of probable cause. The property receipt is a document that federal law requires law enforcement agents to leave with the property owner. The department filed the motion to make public the warrant and receipt in light of the former president's public confirmation of the search, the surrounding circumstances, and the substantial public interest in this matter. Faithful adherence to the rule of law is the bedrock principle of the Justice Department and of our democracy. Upholding the rule of law means applying the law evenly, without fear or favor. Under my watch, that is precisely what the Justice Department is doing. All Americans are entitled to the even-handed application of the law, to due process of the law, and to the presumption of innocence. Much of our work is by necessity conducted out of the public eye. We do that to protect the constitutional rights of all Americans and to protect the integrity of our investigations. Federal law, long-standing department rules, and our ethical obligations prevent me from providing further details as to the basis of the search at this time. There are, however, certain points I want you to know. First, I personally approved the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter. Second, the department does not take such a decision lightly. Where possible, it is standard practice to seek less intrusive means as an alternative to a search and to narrowly scope any search that is undertaken. Third, let me address recent unfounded attacks on the professionalism of the FBI and Justice Department agents and prosecutors. I will not stand by silently when their integrity is unfairly attacked. The men and women of the FBI and the Justice Department are dedicated, patriotic public servants. Every day, they protect the American people from violent crime, terrorism, and other threats to their safety while safeguarding our civil rights. They do so at great personal sacrifice and risk to themselves. I am honored to work alongside them. This is all I can say right now. More information will be made available in the appropriate way and at the appropriate time. Thank you.
Attorney General, the former president of the
FBI agents.
Thank you all for your questions. But as I said, this is all I can say at this time.
That is not going to quell the firestorm in America. We're jumping in live here. You've just heard a statement by Attorney General Merrick Garland where he said absolutely nothing. 2 days ago, there was an unprecedented raid on the home of former President Donald Trump. They say that they got a warrant, but he won't specify what they were searching for. Everybody thought that Merrick Garland was going to at least specify why they would engage in something that appears to be so nakedly political, why they had probable cause to do so. How in the world, when Hillary Clinton destroyed so many documents that had been subpoenaed, when Hunter Biden has clearly committed so many felonies and worked with foreign enemies of the United States and provided kickbacks to the current president of the United States, and we haven't seen any homes raided in Chappaqua of the Clintons or Hunter Biden's home, but they go into Mar-a-Lago and Merrick Garland will not release the reasons why. They say that they filed a motion to unseal the warrant, but he's not providing any of the details. This is unprecedented. And at the end, he had this anger. I will not have people question the integrity of our people. Well, I think there's good reason to question the integrity. When the FBI spied on former Trump aide, Carter Page, those were doctored documents that allowed the FBI to get those warrants. The FBI has acted as a naked political operative of the Democratic Party for several years now. It appears to many of us that the swamp, the deep state, is alive and well, and that it was not an exaggeration when Donald Trump was talking about it during his first campaign in 2016. So now the person who is the most likely Republican nominee for president in 2024, the current occupant of the White House, Joe Biden, says he's going to run again. And it is very much like third world banana republic nations when the current president of the United States can launch a Department of Justice FBI raid against the person who most likely will be his presidential opponent in 2 years. I mean, this has never happened in the United States of America. All Merrick Garland says that he personally approved the search warrant that was presented to the attorneys. He did not say if he gave a copy of the search warrant to Trump's attorneys at Mar-a-Lago, because Trump's attorneys say, no, they showed it to us. They did not let us have a copy. That's what Trump's attorneys have been saying. And so they say they are unsealing the warrant, or they're making a motion to unseal the warrant so we can all see what is in it. But the fact that Merrick Garland did absolutely nothing except sound incredibly defensive, and we live in a kind of, there have been people who have feared because they supposedly didn't let Trump's lawyers watch what they were doing at Mar-a-Lago. And there have been people, and given this unending 6-year witch hunt where they fake the right, where Hillary Clinton works with the media to completely fabricate the Russian dossier story, when so many stories have been completely made up, and the most ardent Trump supporters are fearful that what if they planted evidence at Mar-a-Lago? They reportedly went through Melania Trump's wardrobe. They were rifling through her dresses and her undergarments at Mar-a-Lago. They cracked open a safe that reportedly had nothing in it. And now Merrick Garland won't say what they have, what information they have for an unprecedented act by law enforcement in the United States of America, by the Justice Department, which is underneath Joe Biden's administration, by an FBI that has already seen doctored FISA warrants. This is unbelievable that he did nothing to quell the firestorm today. And it, again, certainly makes me wonder why, if they have such a rock solid case, because what the defenders of this have been saying for days now is the only way they could have gone in is if they had something earth shaking, if they had something that is really going to prove damning to Donald Trump. Now, I will say, I'll repeat what I said a couple of days ago. Nobody in this country should be above the law. Donald Trump certainly should not be above the law. If they have some proof of something that was so horrific that they needed to go in when they reportedly had been negotiating with the president for these boxes of National Archive materials. Okay, I'm just getting this. Here's the United States motion to unseal the limited warrant materials. We've got some breaking news coming in as we speak. At the time the warrant, I'm reading this cold here, so you're hearing it the first time as I am. At the time the warrant was initially executed, the department provided notice directly to President Trump's counsel. The department did not make any public statements about the search. This is exactly what Merrick Garland just said. Later the same day, President Trump issued a public statement, which is his right to do so. In the circumstances involving a search of the residence, the government hereby requests the court unseal the notice of filing. So this doesn't say anything about what is in it. The press and public enjoy a qualified right of access to criminal and judicial proceedings and the judicial records filed therein. So all this is the motion to unseal the warrant. But there is no information as to what is in the warrant in this document that we are just getting as we speak here. So hopefully they will unseal that search warrant. We'll see what's in it. We'll find out if there's something so damning. And by the way, Merrick Garland was supposed to speak at 11:30 our time. He didn't get up there until 12:05, and then he said nothing. He said, we'll unseal the warrant. I approved the raid. And stop talking nasty about the FBI. I'm out of here. Won't take any questions. That did far more damage than it helped. And the reason why this is so important, as we've talked about, if this can happen to a former president of the United States, who might be a future presidential candidate in the United States, if they can go after somebody like that for what may be purely political reasons, then what can happen to you and me? We don't have lawyers on the scene at our house. We don't have security cameras everywhere recording if somebody goes through our house. One of the things that Merrick Garland said that I found quite notable, he said, all Americans deserve even application of the law. Well, here in Washington State, we know that that is not true. The reason why Bob Fergie Ferguson is the most dangerous politician I have ever covered in 27 years is because he has weaponized the Attorney General's office. He goes after any organization or individual that is not ideologically aligned with him. And he provides political cover for individuals and organizations that are on the far left. And so we have seen the Attorney General. And once again, I'll explain my passion for the subject on a personal level. Bob Ferguson encouraged his donor list to contact our radio station management to have me fired because he disagrees with me ideologically. One of the most un-American, one of the most grievous violations of the First Amendment possible. The government trying to silence somebody on the public airwaves because he didn't like my ideology. And he doesn't like that I'm a whistleblower and that I'm a watchdog of government. And then I told you back in 2012, the federal government, it was proven that Barack Obama weaponized the IRS. He went after groups that had things like Patriot or Liberty in their name. And after I spoke at a tax capping tea party, I'm not anti-tax. We need taxes to run government. I'm not an anarchist. But I certainly think we should reduce taxation. And I spoke at a tea party rally in Olympia in 2012. And a couple months later, for the first time in my life, my wife and I get a letter from the IRS saying that we bogusly asserting that we owed them $50,000. We had to hire a lawyer. We had to hire a tax professional. Took dozens of hours, turned our lives a little bit upside down for several weeks. It was a completely baseless claim by the IRS. But we found out later, soon after that, that Barack Obama had authorized the IRS targeting groups that were allied with tax reduction, Tea Party, Patriot organizations. So I've seen at the state and the federal level what happens when you're targeted. So now we have this Democrat bill that's going to be voted on tomorrow, I believe. It passed the Senate, that would add 87,000 IRS agents in the United States of America. And we know that 75% of IRS audits are against people making under $200,000 a year. And so this is an all-out attack on the middle class in America, the small business owners, the middle class wage earners. They're the ones who are going to have their shorts gone through by the IRS when 87,000 agents are added. But I absolutely believe that this is the desired destruction of the middle class in America. Government knows that they can't do a whole lot to the wealthiest people. If you take away half of Jeff Bezos' fortune, he'll still be filthy, stinking rich. Oh, wait a second. His wife already took away half of his fortune. If he took away another half of Jeff Bezos' fortune, he'll still be filthy, stinking rich. Middle class people, if you take away half of what they have, well, then they go from maybe being self-sufficient in their life, maybe being able to take care of themselves and their family and their retirement. They go from that to being totally dependent on government. And I think that that is the desired end goal when you add 87,000 IRS agents. We're going to have more IRS agents now than border security guards, Pentagon people combined. IRS is becoming, under this new Democrat bill, IRS is going to become the most far-reaching, intrusive government agency ever. And the point is, if you know they send out this message, hey, we can go after Trump, what chance do you have trying to stand up to us? If you don't think right, if your mind's not right, they're going to put you in the hole to get that mind right. In this case, a deep, deep financial hole. But that is what we're dealing with right now. A federal government that appears to be horribly out of control. An attorney general made everybody wait 35 minutes to have an explanation as to why they did an unprecedented raid of somebody who is a political opponent of the current president of the United States. Unbelievable. All right. I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this. 888-973 Cairo is the line to text. That's 888-973-5476. Okay, we wanted to bring you that breaking news, the live statement by Attorney General Merrick Garland. We will pick up with the local news. We'll get started with our big lead right after we check the news with Aaron Granello in a couple of minutes here. That is the beginning of what I'm sure is going to be an incredibly busy news afternoon as we get rolling here on the Dory Monson Show. We'll keep posted on any new developments in this ridiculous Merrick Garland press statement. It wasn't a press conference that he just made. We've got a lot of local news to talk about as we get cranking up here on the Dory Monson Show. The number one issue in our region is crime. There's no doubt about that. And crime has taken a dramatic upswing in our region for one reason and one reason only. Democrat politicians and the voters who vote for them. They are the ones who are responsible for a record murder pace in King County. They're the ones who are responsible for us now being the number one state in the United States of America on a per capita basis for car thefts. We're number one just flat out, not even just per capita. We're number one in catalytic converter thefts. Six more South King County mayors signed a letter yesterday begging for some help from King County government and from the state. So now it's the mayors of Auburn, Black Diamond, Covington, Des Moines, Enumclaw, Federal Way, Kent, Maple Valley, Pacific, Renton, and Tukwila. And they say they're united in our ongoing plea to our King County and Washington State criminal justice partners to help us stem the rising tide of crime and violence in our communities. And then they cited the reasons for the dramatic upswing in crime. And it's all Democratic bills and Democratic politicians. Senate Bill 5476, which has legalized all drugs in the state. House Bill 1054, which makes it illegal for police officers to engage in a vehicle pursuit. If they are tracking a stolen car and the person hits the gas, the cops can't chase them. So we have more car thefts than any place in the country per capita. Now, we let children offenders just go, even after killing people. And on it goes. You've got the Democrat senators, all of whom I wrote to a week ago Monday, inviting them to come on the show to explain why they conspired with Jay Inslee for a Senate bill that Inslee signed that's going to get a man who's twice gotten life in prison for three strikes, you're out. In between, after he was released the first time by a liberal judge, he murdered a 14-year-old little girl. Then he got sentenced to three strikes, you're out again. And Democratic senators, along with Jay Inslee, conspired to get this guy and up to 100 other three strikes, you're out criminals free. And the senators to thank for that are Jeannie Darnell, Mona Doss, Patty Cutter, Bob Hasegawa, Marco Elias, Rebecca Sodania, Jesse Solomon, and Claire Wilson. I invited every one of those senators to come on the show to explain why they conspired with the governor for a bill that is going to let a man who's had seven felony convictions, twice been convicted of three strikes, you're out, and in between those convictions, murdered a 14-year-old girl. And Senators Darnell, Doss, Cutter, Hasegawa, Elias, Saldana, Solomon, and Claire Wilson, they conspired to get a child killer out of prison, which he'll be free in just a few years now. He was going to be put away for the rest of his life without the possibility of parole. But the Democrats in our state think that child killing is so insignificant that you should be released from prison, even if it's one of several felonies, violent felonies that you've committed. So this is purely a Democratic issue. And now the latest, what's going on in King County, Jason Rand says a story up at mynorthwest.com. So they've had a program for juvenile first-time felons called the Restorative Community Pathways Program. And that says that instead of facing a judge, you'll face a panel of community activists. And that panel will decide what your punishment should be if you commit a felony. And they say a nonviolent felony, like car theft. And who's going to be on this panel of community activists who decide what to do with these children who commit felonies? Well, according to the county, only far-left activist organizations will be considered for this panel. It specifically says that it has to be organizations centered around the unique needs of Black, Indigenous, Latinx, LGBTQ+, and any other intersecting populations. You must employ BIPOC and LGBTQ+ people. That, by the way, that alone is so discriminatory. LGBTQ plus? What about the IAs? Oh, that's the plus? So why is sometimes it say LGBTQIA plus? Sounds to me like you don't think the IAs are very plus. Anyway, but that's who's sitting in judgment now of felons, of juvenile felons. And as Jason reports, they now are going to extend this community activist program for adult offenders. It'll be for adults that it'll include no violent offenses, no gun or weapon offenses, but it will mean drug dealers, people who steal cars, possessing stolen property, white-collar crimes, financial information, ID. How do you think the community activists are going to treat a car thief versus a white-collar criminal? I bet they come down harder on the white-collar criminals. Selling stolen property, damaging property. All of those people, all those adult offenders, instead of going before a judge, are going to go before a radical far-left group of community activists who will be selected for the boxes they check. So what does all this mean in the real world? Well, the King County Prosecutor's Office just announced they've filed charges against the Bellevue organized retail theft ring. And one of the people that they filed charges against is Billy Chambers. Now, you may recognize the name. Billy Chambers is one of the children who murdered the tuba man, the beloved street musician in Seattle. Billy Chambers got a slap on the wrist for, I think they got it down to manslaughter or whatever they pleaded it down to, when he was 15 years old and was part of the gang that killed Tuba Man. So what happens when you give these juvenile offenders a slap on the wrist? It's restorative justice, right? They'll turn their lives around. Or they'll learn that you can get away with crime, including killing somebody, which apparently is the message that Billy Chambers got. He has the following juvenile felony convictions: manslaughter in the first degree, robbery in the second degree, possession of stolen property in the first degree. As an adult, second degree robbery, second degree attempted assault with a deadly weapon, hit and run of a attended vehicle, first degree theft, second degree theft. He has a federal conviction for a felon in possession of a weapon. He has a misdemeanor for third-degree theft. He's the suspect in a drive-by shooting that happened last month. He has four warrants for failure to appear. Boy, I'm glad we offered restorative justice, because it really turned Billy Chambers' life around. And now they're going to expand the juvenile, let's let radical far-left activists judge you instead of judges. And now they're going to extend that to first-time felons who are adults. Even though every time you're caught for a crime, police believe you've probably committed that crime 50 times without getting caught. But this is the revolving door. This is what Dow Constein wants, and this is what every Democrat in the state capitol, with a couple of rare exceptions. Tim Sheldon was an exception. He's retiring. Mark Mullett's an exception. But every other although I think Mullett voted for a couple of these things, too. Every other Democrat in Olympia voted for these things to make criminals the freest they can be here in Washington State versus anywhere else in the country. I'll talk to one of those South Sound mayors later in the big show today about this insanity. But it's on the Democrats in Olympia, Dow Constein, and the voters who vote for all of these people. You're all responsible for the murders. You're responsible for letting child killers get out of prison in a couple of years. You're responsible for the families that are shattered by all of this increase in crime, because it is a very concerted effort by Democrat politicians and clearly by the voters who vote for them to unleash this mayhem. And if parents lose children, so be it. We got a mission. We got to create chaos in society, because Marxism's right around the corner. Okay, quick time out. I'll give you an update on what's happening at that Port Townsend pool and lots of other news to get. I'm going to talk to a rape survivor who's from Port Townsend and asks, why do we care about hurting the transgender person's feelings but not protecting the feelings of a rape survivor who might be in the women's locker room next to somebody with a penis? It's a fair question. We'll talk to her later on this afternoon. And Brandi Crews is going to join us. Very busy news day. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, and by the way, what's law enforcement doing? Well, we have record number of shootings around here. We have record murder rate in the state of Washington. Number one per capita in car thefts. Number one total in catalytic converter thefts. Number one in property crimes here in the Seattle area. What's King County Sheriff's Office doing? Are we getting more cops out there to fight all these criminals? Well, not exactly. There's a job posting now at the King County Sheriff's Office for an equity, inclusion, and belonging manager. Belonging. The King County Sheriff's Office is looking for an equity, inclusion, and belonging manager. I just feel like I don't belong. Well, then talk to our belonging manager. Belonging manager. I feel like I don't belong here. Well, I'm here to tell you, you belong. Thanks. King County Sheriff's Office is looking for an equity, inclusion, and belonging manager to join our team. This position will provide courageous leadership. Oh, man, I bet they get a real courageous leader now. It'll provide courageous leadership to help support the King County Sheriff's Office to encompass and support the advancement of equity, racial, and social justice throughout King County. Reporting to the Chief of Community Programs and Services and working collaboratively with the Sheriff's Office leadership team, this position simultaneously reports to King County's Chief Equity and Inclusion Officer. Wait a second. So King County has a Chief Equity and Inclusion Officer, and the King County Sheriff's Department Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Manager? Will report to the Equity and Inclusion Officer? Wait, where are my woke dice here? Okay, your job is going to be belonging. And your boss's job is going to be inclusion. So it says inclusion report to belonging? No. Belonging reports to inclusion. The Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Manager will be responsible for supporting King County Sheriff's leadership to oversee, develop, and implement the King County Sheriff's Office pro-equity and anti-racist-focused efforts and approaches. The Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Manager will also support the Sheriff's Office leadership to increase equity, racial, and social justice knowledge, skills, and abilities throughout the department. The salary range for this position is between $123,000 and $156,662.90 annually. So $150,000 a year to be a belonging man. I might apply. I could do that on the side. I'd still do the radio show. But every time somebody has an issue, I would just say, hey, you belong. And then I'd send them scurrying on their way. Mr. Monson, I'm left out. Nope. You belong. Thanks, Mr. Monson. So, yeah, I think I'll apply for this gig. But you know, personally, I'd rather get a couple more cops out on the road. I'd personally rather catch some catalytic converter thieves or maybe shorten the response time if some madman on meth with a gun is kicking down somebody's front door. But no. We got to get an equity, inclusion, and belonging manager first. Then we'll worry about the criminals. But right now, belonging is our number one issue in King County. Okay, quick time out here. We will talk about the madness at the Port Townsend pool. Lots of other news to get to. The Fastest 15, right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show.